everyone. Welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. We are bringing you the first UK annual for the Marvel Comics. And this episode, or this issue, is packed full of stories. And they're not all very Saturday afternoon cartoon worthy. They're kind of dark. And with me today is Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com. So welcome.
Howdy.
Yo, you're back.
I'm back.
Man, I have never had the chance to read through one of these annuals. The UK Marvel Transformers annuals are huge. There's so much in here.
There's a lot to them.
Oh, man, there really is. I mean, there's little extra things there, like puzzles and games and stuff, but there's so many stories. It is like so much rich world building with the stories, and not even like the comic book panel stories, like the almost like more like a prose style short story form.
Yeah, the text stories and stuff. That was
Yeah.
something that was new to the format.
Yeah. And I was pretty happy to see this, pretty surprised. Cover is very toy accurate for who did this cover? I'm trying to read the
This
name.
was John Higgins did the cover.
Okay.
Yes.
Very clean looking, but yeah, it's very, very toy centric, even to the where Jazz has like the missile launcher thing behind his head.
Oh yeah, and that Sunstreaker looks pretty good on the
Oh
cover
yeah,
as
it looks
well.
great. You can see the ridges in his forearms, so that
Yeah.
looks great. Yeah.
So yeah, very detailed stuff. He did the cover to issue 24, the one that was it showed Shockwave attacking the oil rig, like blasting
Oh,
it from like,
that's very cool. Yeah, I remember that one.
yeah.
It's a very nice
And
cover.
he's we'll see him again in the upcoming issue 33 cover.
Okay, cool. Very
So it
nice.
will be the next regular UK comic that we'll cover.
You get me from the next one with him, with Higgins, for this, which,
Yes.
I mean, honestly, this is so cool. There's really nice. There's a lot of add-on stuff in this, including like a line drawing thing of Optimus Prime here. You know, basically he's like who he is. I could see every UK kid wanting to take the crayons out and color this.
Oh yeah. Well, it's funny about that because many of the coloring activity pages from this were taken from the American coloring books. They had the Transformers, the Search for Treasure Under the Sea, the Deadly Fuel Shortage, and the Decepticon Patrol coloring books. That's really all these little mazes and what looked like coloring book pages were literally from American coloring books.
The deadly fuel shortage of the early 80s, late 70s.
Yes. And it's also funny about who
Real fashion.
illustrated Deadly Fuel Shortage comic or
Who's that?
comic coloring book. Steve Ditko.
Nice.
Yes.
Real
So
world factors and real dudes that get made fun of a lot in the I guess what would you put
well,
that?
and he was kind of a big name, you know. I mean,
Oh
he's one
yeah,
of the
he is.
co-creators of Spider-Man, so
Oh God, yes, he is.
yeah.
And yeah,
So
actually, it's kind of funny you say that thing is it's taken from all these different coloring books because that it opens with one of these pages where it's like Autobot Decepticon. This book belongs to blank. How all these storybooks had.
yeah, if you look on the back of the coloring books, they have that same illustration, usually in color, on the back
Yeah.
covers of the coloring books.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you a second. What you're about to say.
Oh, I was just going to say, this book wasn't meant to fit in perfectly with the UK Comics regular continuity.
Yeah.
It was more as like an intro book for those who had not gotten into the weekly comics yet. And also something where they could advertise the new toys for Hasbro, which hadn't been introduced yet into the, you know, the then weekly comic. So they didn't have to stick directly with the comic continuity, but still kind of played loose with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also why it has like short profiles for the various characters, like we'll see in the beginning of the Decepticons. And it also features the introductory Autobot roll call pages that were omitted from UK number one.
That is, yeah, well, actually, that's right, because we saw that page in the Marvel US number one.
Yeah, they
And
didn't
there's a
use that one in
lot.
UK. Yeah.
Yeah, there is a
Yeah, it
lot
is.
there. I don't want to revisit that because there's so much going on the page, but we still have that.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the little the quick blurbs about each character because they actually touch on them pretty well, including how vicious Ravage is. We as watching the Sunbow cartoon in the United States, You kind of miss a lot of how effective Ravage is as a saboteur and how good he is. But they make sure they punch that home. Including they go into the other characters, like how Skywarp likes to play pranks on his other Decepticons, and how Soundwave likes to blackmail with using his reading of the minds. So, and we also have Red Rumble. Okay, everyone. This is how the toy was. I'm just gonna say it, like, a lot of the people we see on the message boards and stuff. Yes, Rumble in the Simba cartoon was blue. Originally, the toy was red, and the UK looks went off of the toy images. So, deal with it. Oh, there's that Autobot roll call page.
Yeah, and it is very detailed.
Yeah, there's a lot. This is a it's a I guess a page of like word panels constant.
I think the coolest thing about it is like Ratchet and Ironhide are in their basic toy mode. They have heads behind the windshields.
They do. They're on their little, I guess, power sleds. What? Well, there wasn't. What were they called? They referred to something else. Nah, I don't know. They're basically tank tread sleds that they. But it's kind of cool to see the heads behind the windshields. And Ironhide's a little harder to make up, but Ratchet's is still pretty much there. Dude, Windcharger looks huge in this.
Oh
I don't know
yeah,
why.
Bumblebee too. Bumblebee is like buff.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that Frunk was hiding all his size. Well, okay, so we go right into this really great story. This, the Autobots have come to town.
Oh yeah, this is well, it's
Well, it's a
Plague
town
of
playing
the
second.
Insecticons.
Yeah. But it looks like the way it does on the first page, it's like the Autobots have come to town.
Right, it makes it look like it's a little mini title, but it's just, I guess, a lot of emphasis on that.
Yeah,
But
well.
this is the lengthiest single part story in all the Marvel UK Transformers.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
It's a
I
lot
think it
going on in the
clocks in at
story.
like 20 pages.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the story.
Yeah.
We
And
opened. We're oh, sorry.
oh, I was gonna say this is written by Simon Furman, and they got Mike Collins and Jeff Anderson to do the artwork for this. And this is Mike Collins's final bit of illustration for the Transformers UK.
Oh, it's too bad.
And he's quoted as saying, "Bloody Insecticons, they finished me off. All those damn curves and angles, a nightmare to get right."
Okay.
Okay, and then our colors are by Gina Hart again.
That's why it looks so good.
And
Okay.
the editor on here is Sheila Krana.
I don't know.
She was the original editor of the comics
Oh,
before
the dude
Ian
crew took
Rimmer took
over.
over. Yeah.
Okay.
She was the
Yeah.
one that was doing the robot roundup.
Oh, okay, cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, she was working on this in the meantime.
This whole thing starts, though. It's really weird that there these soldiers are stationed behind barricades. It looks like the National Guard or something, behind barricades in Washington, D.C. And they've gotten word that the aliens are here. And so actually, it builds up almost like a I don't know, like a War of the Worlds kind of thing. Like, the aliens are here, everyone's like jittery and stuff.
This could be a Twilight Zone opening, even.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
100% that.
This is
They're
like the monsters are coming to Maple Street, you know?
Yeah, they're an alien and they're an unknown quantity.
Yeah.
But they've been hearing like rumors and stories, and they don't know what to expect. And a okay, to our UK friends, we adore you. A lorry, a 18-wheeler, a patrol car, okay, it's a Datsun 280Z Fairlady patrol car, and a tank, a Sherman tank, show up in DC. Personally, I'm gonna put this out there. If I were trying to show up in a meeting of the humans and the Autobots together, I wouldn't bring a tank. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I Maybe other people have different ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a general there who tells them to hold their fire unless they're ordered to only fire if there's a problem or if they're fired upon first. And the three Autobots show up on the White House lawn. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the White House, Boo. I've been there a couple times. You don't get anywhere near the lawn. There is so much. There are so many barriers, at least nowadays, to even you can look at it. You can take pictures of the White House behind all the fences and the barriers and stuff. So yeah, they roll right up on the front lawn, and who is there to greet them?
A generic president who doesn't look like anyone in particular.
Kind of looks like an actor.
Yeah, like an old cowboy actor. Yeah, no, he looks very much like Ronald Reagan. They
Well,
don't
later on,
name
even more
him
so.
per se, but yeah, it was the then current American president, Ronald Reagan.
I welcome you with the open hand of peace and friendship. In the name of the American people, I greet you, the Autobots. Like, that sounds more like Nixon. Okay. Anyways,
Now,
Hover.
this is the first appearance of Warpath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen many other ones. The president. Okay, well, I'm just gonna say I want to shorten the president because it's very ostentatious. Reagan greets him and says, "I find the prospect to talk to a lorry really disconcerting." So Optimus Prime transforms right in front of him. And it's the same Optimus Prime face from early in the UK comics. It looks very samurai. It looks very bug-like, like very like curved in.
Yeah.
And so
He's
he's
got the
kind of
blue mask too that he used to have.
So yeah, he'd get right up in there. And it is very much like the toy. People who have the original Optimus Prime toy, he has a face similar to that.
Or if
And
you have the missing link.
I don't have the missing link, so
Yeah. Well, it's a replica of the original, just with more
it's not
joints.
no, dude. That's not original G1. You know it's not.
Oh, it's better.
In the background, you see Prowl transforming, and Optimus Prime's holding his hand out to Reagan, saying, "In the name of the Autobots, I, Optimus Prime, echo your wish of peaceful cohabitation, and perhaps we can now." And there's a big line thing, like, "Oh, what?" And the earth starts shaking, and you see a little glimpse of Warpath with his complete mini Autobot mode with his tank tread feet and everything like that.
Yeah, he has like fused feet into like a unifoot.
Just like the toy.
Yeah. And I mean it looks like the box art and the I guess remember we had the little fact file on him?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he had that little unifoot again like the toy. So yeah, very toy centric. In fact, I believe they said that they requested for Warpath to be included.
Oh, well, it makes sense. They
But
wanted to try to get his toy notice out there.
yeah, and I'll get more into that as we go. But yeah, there was a reason for him showing up.
Okay, cool. The suddenly there are the Insecticons show up. This is, after all, Plague of the Insecticons. And they are showing up, Okay, look. Here's shrapnel. See? Yellow, purple, black and all that. And here's bombshell once again. Yellow, purple, black, and all that. Loose yellow. So they show up in the original Diaclone, kind of almost the Diaclone colors. The red
Kind of what
chests.
they actually match is in UK issue 17. There was the ad that had the scary kid in it,
That's right. Oh,
and they
that's
had
right.
brown legs, and some of them had brown arms also, and the red chest. So it was like a mix of the Diaclone, and then I'm guessing it's a prototype
Oh,
color for
probably.
them. Yeah,
They probably
that
had
they
the.
obviously ditched the brown parts, but yeah, they had brown on them in that ad.
Okay,
So.
so yeah. We
Whatever they
have.
base that ad on is what they base this drawing on. So it's some kind of whatever booklet they were given.
Yeah, and it's not just a one-off either. They're the same color through the entire comic.
Yeah. The colors kind of bounce around a little bit, like their arms change a little bit. But yeah, basically it's the purple, black, brown, and red. And their chests stay red instead of yellow. So.
Yeah. And the guns are all the guns they have as you know, Transformers. The bombshell shows up and he looks huge. He's like, you know, strike and strike on strike hard. And shrapnel just goes, shree. I don't know why. He killed the humans.
Oh, it's because in his tech spec it mentions he has like a battle cry.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I haven't written
Yeah.
this tech spec in years.
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, they work a lot off of the toys
Yeah.
in these UK stories. So, yeah, they pulled that straight from his little profile.
Yeah. And it's like kind of show up and they are very aggro. They're, you know, but they also do some very subtle things like Bombshell screams in the name of the Autobots, kill them all. And immediately you get the idea that they're being set up, the Autobots. So, you
Yeah,
know,
they show their hand real quick.
yeah, which is kind of neat because no one's ever seen the Insecticons before this point. So, you know, you wouldn't know like that they're working, you know, who they're working for and what they're working with.
Right, because this is also the first appearance of the Insecticons in the
Yep.
comics.
And Optimus Prime's he's upset because, you know, they're so close, you know, they were about to make peace, and he calls the Insecticons, these are Decepticon configurations, killers, pure and simple. The configurations thing was very awkward to me.
Yeah. Guess it's their designs. They just
Yeah.
look like Decepticons.
Well, the Decepticon symbol on their body probably would help with that too.
Yeah.
But once again, there. Optimus Prime was trying to, you know, kind of recount how this all happened. It's like, how did they know? I mean, we are so careful. We went through proper channels, very confidential. He worked with, you know, he was working with Jazz and trying to get the word to the American government, like, hey, look, use every security device you can, and, you know, make sure there's no Decepticon monitors in the space. And it was like a solid plan all the way through until it looks like Secret Service called the general. It was telling about what was going on, you know, and that's all it took is one hole in this whole plan. And
One private email server. I mean, wait.
it
Yeah, it was an unsecured phone line, it says.
was, yeah.
Yeah.
So and then like Soundwave is he is actively surveying all communications.
Yeah, and this reminds me of like the sound wave we saw in like the Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
Or he's attached to the communication satellite and is monitoring everything.
And
So,
he immediately tells Megatron what's going on, who once again is colored like the box art, gold chest and
yeah.
upper arms.
Oh yeah. Well, it's after all, it's Gina Hart, so
Yeah.
he's gonna be in his golden years,
Yes.
just like we are.
Yeah, we are all the white. And you know, when this is the era where Megatron has still had that toy look, but his face is really nice. So the long chin, you know, the big eyebrow kind of crown thing going
Yeah.
on. He's trying to like find a way to ruin the treaty between the Autobots and the humans.
Yeah, he doesn't want them to team up on him.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, that's a war on several fronts at that point. So he's like, but you know, look, stealth and cunning are like what's called for. You know, open attack would, you know, merely underline the Autobots, you know, claims. They don't want to show their hand yet if they don't have to. So
But
they're
yeah,
going to in
basically what they have in the cartoon where
yeah.
the Autobots are considered the allies to all humans. Megatron is actively working to keep that from ever happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he wants to introduce a new troop of who understands the true meaning of stealth. And that's when he introduces the Insecticons.
He pulls the pot pies out of the freezer.
He does. He does. It kind of reminds me. I know I go to this a lot in this podcast of Exo Squad, where they open up a canister and there's a new clone of a Neo Sapien shows up. Like, oh, new character. Okay, that's what they did with here. They opened like the tube, kind of like if you ever watched the old, I know you have because we've actually both seen the MST3K movie. The movie This Island Earth, where they have those the cylinders, the glass cylinders that come up.
Oh,
And
yeah.
there's a new person underneath, and that's the Insecticons. And though something's a little off the way they're flying here, we go back to the battle. Shrapnel is, using his electricity, and once again, also saying like all the enemies of the Autobots must die. So there's a lot of gaslighting going on here.
Yeah.
But yeah, he.
Yeah, this is a smear campaign.
Oh, totally, totally fake news. All fake news. They're firing at the Insecticons, and the Insecticons are shooting all the human vehicles and destroying everything. But yeah, Optimus Prime notices that their flight is a little is like somewhat uncertain, a little erratic. So he's trying to figure out like what's going on there. And that was your first clue that something's going on with all
They're
this.
worse than Jersey drones.
Did you catch one of the Jersey drones? No.
No.
Suddenly, Bombshell breaks off his attack. But we'll have to find out more of that later, because we have the Transformers name and face match.
Yes.
Which, let's be honest, a lot of these are pretty simple. The
Oh
only
yeah, they're very toy-centric
yeah.
faces.
The only ones I had to do a d double take on were Bumblebee and Cliffjumper, because Bumblebee is very much his toy face.
Oh, well, the Seekers too. You have Thundercracker and
Yep.
Starscream. It's like, man,
Oh.
without colors.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's a
Now,
toss-up, dude.
it's pretty easy though to sort them all out. But what's funny about it, if you go by the answer page,
Yeah.
which is actually from one of the coloring books, it's wrong. It has Laserbeak's name going to Ravage's face and vice versa. So yeah, they've got those switched.
So the two of the Transformers that should not have been mixed up. I saw Laserbeak, like immediately thinking like, oh God, is Buzzsaw in here? And I saw Rumble, like hoping that there wasn't like a frenzy in here. No,
Yeah,
the
and
two
this
that
one I
were.
believe is from the Search for the Treasure Under the Sea.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, the fact that they mixed up those two and not the Seekers, that's pretty substantial. And let me.
Well, it's also funny, and we'll get to that in another part as we're doing this annual in pieces.
Huh?
They do that again with those two characters
Oh,
in
really?
another part. Yeah. And like I said, this isn't even from the UK side. This is coming straight from the American coloring books.
Yeah. Let me take a stab at this though, because I don't know the answer.
All
The
right.
one on the left is Thundercracker, the one on the right Starscream, right?
That's my guess
The
as well.
Thundercracker is very jowly.
Yeah. They try to draw them slightly differently.
Yeah.
And then there's another part that you'll see that they really get creative with the seeker heads,
Nice.
which we'll cover that when we get to that. But yeah, you'll see. Man, they got real creative.
Yeah. Oh, and then we get to color. But man, I'm so happy because the color is so good, because we're in a UK book.
Yes.
Actually, no, they had color before. What am I talking about? Okay. Anyways, sorry. Nix that last part, because we actually still have color from before, because we were talking about the color in the sitcoms. Sorry. I was so
Yes.
used to the UK comics going back and forth, black and white and color. We just saw
Oh, yeah,
black
those days are
page.
long gone now.
Oh, thank God. The color is really nice to hear, though. But Optimus Prime is like a single visor for his head
Yeah.
on this page.
He's kind of sound wave looking there.
It very much is.
Yeah.
But once again, we have the gaslighting of everyone. Bombshell announces, "Great Optimus, we hear your command. We will take to ba the battle to the city itself, leaving you to finish off the soldiers." And Prowl is mad, dude. He's like, "Did you hear that? Did you hear what that thing said?" And Optimus Prime figures it out pretty quickly. And like, look, obviously the targets for destruction is not us, but our name. And so yeah, it's a spirit campaign, like you said.
Oh yeah, and Warpath is white
Yeah,
in
he
this
is.
panel. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell the difference between him and Prowl, unless you
Yeah.
look at it. Yeah, so he notices that the fact that the soldiers are not happy. The
Oh yeah,
general.
there's a general, yeah, that's not happy at all.
He's pulling a J. Jonah Jameson, you murdering monstrosities. If he hadn't managed to get that president, the president, to safety, he'd have to, his death to answer for. So the Insecticons almost killed Reagan. That's
Yes.
terrible. That's awful. The Gipper, he's going to make it.
They
And,
wanted to impress Jodie Foster.
yeah.
You know you were thinking it.
I was totally thinking it. I just, thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah. Now it's my fault.
Yes. Hey, I wasn't
The
implying anything, man.
gaslighting continues.
So he splits up Prowl Warpath to go take care of the city while he goes for the he's going to look for the cause, like something's going on with the Insecticons. He's going to find out the source. And yeah, so Prowl and Warpath outrun, because I've never seen a Sherman tank, drive over city streets, but I'm sure it's not this fast. So the Prowl and Warpath speed away and lose the soldiers who are in pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they wander into a cityscape that is under complete siege. Man, this looks terrible. And the Insecticons are in the air, like blowing over buildings. But there's a few Easter eggs in this picture.
Oh yeah, we love our signs, don't we?
We do, man. We love ever since Make Tracks, the signs of actually no, it was like Girl Who Loved Powerglide, wasn't it? Yeah, well, one of the two, the signs are very important.
Well, and then you had Autobot Run, all the little
Oh.
ads on the
Oh
things. I
yeah.
mean, yeah, we always get lost in the background signs.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that because they all the writers and the artists get put their little touches on this stuff.
Yeah, well, even in GoBots, they did that, remember?
Oh yeah, they
Yeah.
totally did. First of all, like there's a McDonald's on the left, but also there's Rimmer's Optician.
Yes.
Like we're
You know what I
talking
think it was? I think it's an optician,
yeah.
but they doubled the O so it would look like glasses.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think that was the idea there.
We're talking about, like, obviously the person who did the sign needed an optician.
Yeah, and you
Yeah.
know, it's not America unless you got McDonald's there.
Every American street, man.
I'm surprised there's not like a Coca-Cola sign somewhere too, because that's like in the 80s, that was like the two American signs that you knew
Yeah.
you were in Merca.
What do we see on the right here, man?
Oh yeah, we got some place to get a little healthier. You got Furman's Weight Watchers.
Which I don't understand because Simon Furman's never looked,
He's a pretty fit guy, so
he's never looked like a big. Maybe he had a stint earlier on when he was doing a lot of art, when he was leaning a little heavier. I don't know. Maybe they were giving him a lot of crap because he was always pretty healthy. I don't know.
And you know, that could be it. You know, if he's kind of the fit guy, then you know, he's the poster child.
Simon, if you're listening, and I know you are because we're friends here. We're not calling you fat.
No, we want to know what the story is behind this
We
sign.
want
Like,
to
what
know. I'm not.
is this some little in joke in your own story, or
I'm going to
because
try to
he
find
wrote this
out.
one. Yeah, he
I'm going to
wrote
try to
this one.
find
So was
out.
this, did you add this to the script, or is this somebody playing games with you?
Who's doing the who's doing the line art in this? This is
Oh,
it's
this was,
Collins and
yeah, it was Mike Collins and Jeff Anderson.
one of them had to do it. They must obviously they were probably all friends in the office. Gotta find out what happened with this because there's got to be a story here.
Yeah,
And
we need to
same
put a
thing with
pin in that
Rimmers.
one next time we get to talk to him.
Yeah, I'll reach out to him at some point. So there's a full the full might of the deadly Insecticons is unleashed with calculating cruelty, and once again, they all have their signature weapons. Kickback has he has like his gun looks like almost like a Tommy gun. It's got this kind of similar thing underneath it.
Oh yeah.
Bombshell has his one that has almost like a trident in front of it. And well, I say they all do, but Shrapnel's is kind of hard to see. But This is a good opportunity for them to explain their powers.
Yeah, it's a little expositionary roll call,
Yep.
which the comics were really good for.
It was, and it was. They all got their moment to shine. Bombshell, in addition to powerful weaponry, he can gain control of his foe's mind by injecting his cerebral shells. Keep that in mind, kids, for the rest of the issue. Kickback, powerful and vicious with it. A master of espionage. Okay. And Shrapnel, evil master of electricity. That's kind of lame. Okay. Bombshell has all the really cool write-up. The other two are like, yeah, we do stuff too. The two Autobots hope wonder if they'll survive the night. This is a very I don't know, very Schwarzenegger or something moment for Prowl. He they quickly they such thoughts are quickly quashed, for they are warriors. They are heroes. Prowl has his gun in the air, he's like, let's take him. So
I
anyways,
mean,
Prowl moment.
he's a police car, so it looks. This could almost be an excerpt from like the Sledgehammer comic.
Sledgehammer,
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
God. Oh, God. Okay. I was about to drop an F-bomb there. Sledgehammer, man. Okay.
Gonna get kicked straight to Patreon with that one, buddy.
Yep. Join us on Patreon. So the next page is find the exact outline of the fastest Autobot, Cliffjumper. Well, I didn't know he was the fastest Autobot, first of all. That's a complete new thing for me.
Well, from what I understood, that the fastest Autobot was actually Windcharger, at least over short distances
Yeah.
for the original set. So I guess maybe over long distances is Cliffjumper. But
Maybe
the
Cliff.
problem with this puzzle is none of them are really a good match for Cliffjumper. There's something
Yeah.
wrong with like each and every one of them.
They look really bad, man.
Yeah.
I know which one it is, because every one of them has a like they do everything with the car body, like on the chest, and the things of the robots. They're pretty good about this, mixing it up. It wasn't a pretty like, oh, who there's wheels on his head or something. No, this is all like they change everything around. Of course, there's wheels on the feet, and yeah, dude, there's all kinds of mixed up stuff here.
Yeah, he's got a Beast Machines rat trap going on a couple of them there.
Definitely two.
Yeah.
He's
Oh,
got
yeah,
that.
too.
He's got that in like a almost like a split like king thing like the behind his head.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's four, but he's got some stubby legs.
You would be wrong then, because it says it's five.
Dude, I'm looking at the tail, the spoiler in the back.
Yeah.
Not five. The spoiler is number four.
Oh, I know. And it's like, but if you look at four, his eyes are wrong.
Oh my God. The
Yeah.
car's wrong in five then. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't say none of these are right. And this is originally from the Deadly Fuel Shortage, which was illustrated by Steve Ditko.
Steve, the one time
Yeah.
we needed you to get this right, man.
Yeah, so like if you took the head off of five and put that on four, then you would
Oh yeah.
have a perfect cliff jumper.
Perfect,
But
yeah.
yeah, none of these are right.
Well, a perfect Cliff Jumper with like who is like standing on his tiptoes, and the legs are so weird. Of course, it's the box art.
Yeah, it's the box art with that weird.
The Mark Watts box art there, they look very I don't know. A lot of them look like they were back a bit, and their legs and their arms are out forward. So the perspective is really messed up. Not that your stuff is messed up, Mark Watts. Just saying, like they're trying to get this on a box. You only have so much space.
Well, and trying to work strictly from the toys
Oh yeah.
was
Oh yeah.
tricky.
So.
Oh, and I love Mark Watts's artwork.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge fan of that style. There's so much good artwork in Transformers, and that was the first artwork we really saw. It's the first artwork that the UK comic, artists really saw too.
Oh, totally.
So you have a lot of that. That's
So yeah,
all.
if you go to the back and it's like this, even in the Deadly Fuel Shortage, they just copied the answer page from that. It says it's five, but he's missing that
Five.
spoiler. So this is like closer to Hubcap than it is to
Oh man,
Cliffjumper.
is that why we have a hubcap and bumper, and because of this drawing, really? No, I know it's not.
You know what? We need Gen Selects like versions of Cliff Jumper for all five of these guys. This needs to be like the
Comes
Squirtle Squad from Pokemon. We need like
the Squirtle Squad. Nice.
Yeah, we need these guys. It's like a special five pack of Cliff Jumpers that are all like
Messed
wonky, and they
up.
could all be a different color even. They could like
They could be one of five different colors that Neil Yamtov had to use.
Oh man, you know, they could even blind box these.
I'm so mad if I got four. And like, if I can just get five and switch the heads, and he's perfect.
Right.
Yeah, so that's just wrong in so many ways. But we get
Hey,
on.
buy a bunch of missing link cliff jumpers and then make
Oh
these
yeah,
guys.
totally.
Customize them. There's a challenge for you.
I'd drop, $50 here and there. Sure, no problem.
Right. So we have to jump ahead a few pages
A
to,
few?
yeah, page 51.
Yes.
That's how big this book is. It's like they packed a lot in here.
This is a big book. There's so much stuff in here. I wish I could. I'm gonna try to see if I can find like more physical copies of these.
Oh yeah, because they had a nice hardback. I've got the hardback.
Nice. Oh, I
Yeah.
actually I do have some hardbacks. I wonder if they're in there. Yeah. So, anyways, we go ahead to Optimus Prime. He's speeding away. You see like blur lines on the side of the trailer, and he's like talking about hating the leaving Prowl and Warpath, but he doesn't think something's right here,
Yeah.
and so. He's like notices that the Decepticons possess a huge potential for fast, decisive action, but their capacity for speed and maneuverability seems like it's like stilted. Like there's something going on. Like they're not getting all of what they can do out.
Yeah, they're not flying with the maneuverability that their forms belie, so he thinks
Yeah,
something's wrong there.
and he does a triangulation for a signal that he's picking up, and it leads him somewhere very close by. But in the meantime, first time I think I've ever seen Prowl shoot a missile off of his shoulder.
Yeah, because generally they leave his missile launchers off.
That or he just shoots lasers from his missile launchers.
Right.
But he fires a missile and like knocks out Kickback pretty heavily. Which, you see. Is it Kickback? Wait a second.
Yeah,
Yes,
it's
Kickback.
Kickback.
Okay. Yeah. He knocks him silly. And so he's fighting a good fight here, and you see behind him, shrapnel's kind of dipping down behind him.
And see,
And he
Kickback is always the bruiser. Like, he's like the muscle in the group.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's called Quebec because he liked getting in there and fighting hand to hand.
Yeah.
But,
Whereas, Bombshell's more of a psychological warrior, and
and
then
shrapnel.
Shrapnel's all about electricity and grenades.
As we see here,
Yeah.
we're given a little hint actually what's going on with the story too, which is kind of neat. So he transforms into his is that a
It's a beetle.
well, I'm trying to think of what kind of beetle it is.
It's a Lamellicorn, is what it's listed as in the
Oh, okay.
instructions.
Okay, a Lamellicorn. I'll have to look at what that is later.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw that word, it was in Shrapnel's instructions.
Yeah, Shrapnel is he transforms into his beetle mode, his Lamellicorn mode. And you see this like kind of like a two-tone green and black digitized thing of Prowl from the back. But you pull back and you see it's on a little computer monitor, about yay big, and there's a black paw who's pushing buttons on it. And so Shrapnel throws out a big red kickball. After Prowl, dude, as soon as I saw that, like, why is he throwing a kickball at him? It looks like those red kickballs you'd have at recess. And apparently, it's a grenade, and it is a shrapnel grenade, as shrapnel would use.
Yes,
Pretty
hence his
neat.
name. It looks like he launched a Pokeball at him.
It does. It really does. A Pokeball that explodes with all kinds of like jagged metal inside.
He's like, Prowl, I choose you.
To go on the ground.
Yes.
And Warpath sees it happening, and he's he runs over and runs over Shrapnel. He just beats the heck out of Shrapnel right there. But if you look in the picture, the it prowls on the ground with like it looks like he's got porcupine quills all over him.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on the little shrapnel like needle
Yeah, it
bombs or whatever,
that was a
grenades.
really cool idea. I kind of wish they'd done more with that in the cartoon. We go back to Optimus Prime. He's like, "Curse me for a fool." He comes to the gate of a park,
Yes,
and
labeled park.
park. He starts. You see a digital readout of Roller, and he's getting ready to send the Roller out to help with Prowl Warpath. And while he's stopped, man, the soldiers are trying to get into the Prime unit. They want
Yeah.
that Prime unit, and.
They're trying hard to get in.
I'm talking about getting cutting gear to get into it, and the back opens up, and there's headlights, and
Well, and
roller.
it's funny this scene, it's just like in War of the Worlds when they're trying to cut into the Martian meteorite
Yeah.
and nothing gets through. And it nothing matters until it opens up on its own from the inside. So there's another little parallel there.
So roller pops out with a gun on his back, or top. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not Optimus Prime's gun, so that's kind of
No, but
interesting
that's a it's a that's a really nice guy. I want that gun, the roller.
too. That can look really good on my roller and my many
Yeah.
rollers.
Just don't put it in another Centurion droid set that nobody can get.
I got it, and I will
I
get it
know.
again.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
The roller busts through all the barriers and goes after Prowl and Warpath to help out. And in that time, Optimus Prime goes through the fence, baby. He goes full on action movie style. And like he says, like, let's try the unsettled approach. And next panel has
It
the.
looks almost like he's yelling the Utrom name. Krang! I know that's an onomatopoeia for the fence going, but in the post TMNT world, it's funny when you see Krang. Yeah.
So then you see the next panel.
Shredder!
God. Next panel, you see a couple of yellow glowing eyes. Like, oh, who is this? So yeah, he like he whoever this is in the shadows, seeing
Yeah,
Optimus Prime,
whoever.
he's somehow located him. Can't afford to relax my mental control of the Insecticons. He must be dealt with. So he detaches Bombshell from the main battle to go after Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Dude, there is a this can't be good. Warpath is doing a full 360 firing off rounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's only like two Insecticons he really has to worry about at this point.
But he can't blam Zowie if he only shoots once. So he's going to blam Zowie all over the city of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not definitely not good.
Well, you know the saying, like, when you got a hammer in your hand, everything starts to look like a nail. Well, when you're a blam, everything looks like a zowie.
Yeah, I
Or
guess.
apparently a reet.
Reeked. I think not on a bot. It's your time to die. Reet. Is that the sound of a laser blast from Roller? Because that's who shoots shrapnel.
Yes, he's got him with the reet gun.
That's so dumb. Oh. So it actually explains really quickly, like back a few panels, what that Optimus Prime can switch, can split his consciousness between Roller, the drone in the trailer, and his main body. So,
Right, they're all
or,
part of him, even
yeah,
if they're split up, so.
they're supposed to be that way, anyways. But yeah, this goes right off tech specs, goes right off the original intention.
And this is the only time you see Roller in the UK comics like this.
Oh, nice! I
Yeah.
always. There was a third party roller that someone did that transforms and stuff. It actually fits inside Optimus Prime's trailer still. They really should have done that for Siege.
Oh yeah.
Since they didn't include Roller in the original, was it Earthrise trailer?
Yeah, that's
Those
what you
two,
had to get from that Centurion droid set that, and it was really small,
Well, it fit inside the Earthrise trailer.
which
The
was
Earth,
also very
very
small.
small. Yes.
It actually looks proportional if you hook it up to Huffer.
It does. And it's weird, man.
Yeah.
So it's hiding. I think I have like my Earthrise Prime sitting on top of it.
I'm glad the Studio Series trailer was like scaled up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It looks
Because
real.
it was weird for when the Rodimus Prime toy came out for Kingdom, that Rodimus had a better trailer
Oh
than
God, by far.
Optimus. Yeah.
By far. Rodimus Prime from
Kingdom.
Kingdom is fantastic.
Oh, it has weapon storage and everything in it. It's like, man.
So many blast effects, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then we see who is the real culprit here, and it is none other than Ravage, who is one of the most competent Decepticons, period, end of story.
Oh,
He's
yeah. He's running
good.
this all from a Game Boy Advance.
He is actually. It kind of looks like, man, when I was in the early 90s, I worked for Albertsons, but way back then. And we got in the TVs that you could, had a rabbit ears and stuff on the little portable TVs you can take on camping trips and stuff with you or out on a boat or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It is not so dissimilar from how big the screen was on those things, except it was
It
flat,
had the
obviously.
emergency radio on them
Oh
and stuff.
yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. It kind of reminds that is like a shrunken down. It's not as obviously as deep. It's not a cathode ray tube, but it kind of reminds me of that size.
Oh, totally. And yeah, I'm kidding about it being a Game Boy Advance because we all know that Ravage is a Sega Game Gear guy.
I'm surprised he's not an Atari Lynx guy.
Oh, that would fit.
Oh yeah, Lynx.
The links.
Anyways, he goes on and says, "I'm almost impressed by your resourcefulness, Prime, but I'm not defeated yet." Ravage is actually while Ravage is doing that, he sends out one final command to Bombshell, which is kind of the way this kind of plays out is really kind of dark. He has Bombshell do like a full-on like kamikaze run at Optimus Prime.
Oh yeah, Wally's mustache twirling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He totally is. He's monologuing, man, and has
Yeah.
Bombshell go out.
He's keeping him distracted.
Yeah, he's talking about making Optimus Prime, well, there's our slave with the Cerebro Shell.
Yep.
And so it's so powerful it hits Kickback also, and the Kickback gets the Destroy Optimus Prime message, and he tries to do what he can to help, to do what he can with this whole ordeal.
And the reflection in Kickback's face, like on his visor of
Yeah.
Roller, makes
Oh.
him look like a Cyclops.
It kind of does actually. Okay, so
Yeah.
I didn't realize what that was. I thought it was some weird, metal, reflection. It is completely Roller in the front of his visor. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Good call on that one. So yeah, because of that whole that massive like panic cry at the end, Kickback does what he can to help out and blows up Roller.
Yeah.
And which could because Optimus Prime is linked to Roller causes him to bend over in pain. And at the time, Bombshell is dive bombing Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime bends over. And it's almost like you never wonder like you had Beast Wars, especially like season two and three, whenever they like something happened and like you'd see it, a Predacon go, oh no, and run into another one. Kind
Yeah.
of has the same thing going on. But
This
it's,
could definitely be a Bob Forward.
oh yeah, but it's
All you
actually.
need is a rock fall on somebody, and it'd be total Bob Forward.
But it's actually a lot darker than that. Ravage
It
really.
reminds me of what was it? Go with the Flow,
Yeah. Oh God,
where
yes.
where Depth Charge crashes into Rat Trap,
Yep.
and the onomatopoeia here. We have another cool onomatopoeia when Roller gets destroyed. It says Bathoom,
Boom.
but if you read it too quickly, you think it says
Bathroom.
Bathroom. Yeah.
Roller needs a bathroom break, man.
Yep.
He's gonna need a
He's
few
a little
drinks.
gassy. He's a little gassy.
So yeah, and the Ravage looks up and he's like, "He missed Bombshell, stop, you'll hit me and you'll and at the time
Bonk.
Bombshell bonks Ravage in the head with a Cerebro Shell, and he basically puts Ravage puts himself under control of Bombshell, who he was controlling. So this is like
Yes.
a loop.
Yeah, there's a feedback loop here.
Yeah. And this is a really cool last panel of Ravage's eyes kind of burning. And as he's essentially a zombie at this point.
Yeah, this is a very Marvel Comics moment.
It's really
With
dark.
the smoky eyeballs, because you're mind controlled, mind controller.
Yep. Yeah, so really kind of awful way to end this, but hey.
It's a very Twilight Zone ending.
It is. It totally is.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to control Ravage now if Ravage controls Bombshell and Bombshell controls Ravage?
Yeah.
But
You could be playing AC/DC's Who Made
who
Who
made
over
who?
this scene. Yeah.
I got a chance to show my wife Maximum Overdrive. Not
Oh boy.
recently. Like, it was somewhat recently, not like kind of really recently, but she was always kind of curious to watch it, and she watched it, and I think her reaction was like, "It's wasn't as bad as I expected." I said, "Yeah, man, cocaine's a hell of a drug."
It's a fun movie, but you definitely have to turn your brain off for a lot of it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But I think the beginning of it was great when all the like minor appliances and Coke machines and stuff were attacking.
It felt
That's like the
very,
best part of that film.
yeah. It felt like the Coke machines like hitting the coach in the junk with the Coke cans,
Oh yeah, and the ATM cussing at people, and then Gus Fring
or
getting killed by a arcade machine.
oh God, yes.
Yeah, that was Giancarlo Esposito.
Yep, it was Esposito. That's one of the first things I remember seeing him in.
Yeah, we were watching Trading Places, and he was one of the guys in jail with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's right. He has. I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah.
He's gotten this like big resurgence ever since The Mandalorian, and people are like, "Oh, he was in this and this and this over the years." And it's one of those things where you don't realize how many times you've seen the guy. Like
Oh
you're.
yeah, he worked steadily, but his big parts didn't come until much later in life, and everyone realized just how great he is. Yeah.
Oh man, but
And
when
that
that.
shows you, like, even when you're in the industry, you still got to wait for that big break.
You never know what'll happen if it ever does.
Yeah.
So we hit the epilogue now.
So this fight went all night, pretty
Yeah.
much. Because his dawn's breaking now.
And Warpath is they're by the way, Optimus Prime and Warpath are heading home. I don't know where Prowl's at. Warpath's like, don't you think it's a little funny they just let us go? We shouldn't we've had to explain? And Prime is like, no, they never believe us. So I fear that the Decepticons have won today, but we may never be able to make peace with the humans. And there's this kind of confusion. It's almost like a fog of war thing afterwards. Like, I still don't know why we had to hold back. If we had my way, he's like, yeah, look, you didn't soldier the orders, and it came direct from the president. And then we go back to the president, and I imagine it's like maybe the speaker. Or maybe the vice president, or whoever this is supposed to be, asks Reagan. We'll just call him Reagan, especially in the last panel. Why did you let them go, sir? And this is actually one of those kind of horrible endings that, if there was just a little communication, this all could have been prevented. But he says he had to trust Don. So I don't know who Don is. Trust the way I saw it. The Autobots were set up, made to look bad. I gave them the chance to sort it out their own way, and they did that. I then trusted them to come to me to explain. They didn't. I trusted them. It looks like I made a mistake, and I can't afford to make such a mistake again.
Dun
Dun,
dun dun.
dun, dun. Yeah, that. If
Well, and the
that's.
consensus is that Don may have supposed to have been Donald Regan, who was, I guess, his chief of staff at the time.
Oh, that makes sense.
Although the other consensus is that it doesn't look like Donald Regan.
Well,
But
I
that would
mean,
be a Don that Ronald Reagan was talking to.
then again, earlier in the issue, Ronald Reagan looked like Ronnie Reagan. So, I mean,
Yeah, he de this experience definitely aged him.
aged him a lot.
But this is where you can see you had two different artists. You went from Mike Collins to Jeff Anderson.
And this is Anderson's work on this last. It's really you can definitely see the lines in Reagan's face. It's a good job.
He's got
Yeah.
his jowls down really well.
Oh yeah, he does. His forehead and like kind of lines and stuff. It looks really really good. Genesis will be proud. So yeah, man, this is it's
Yeah, it
pretty.
does look like this the spitting image version of Reagan a little bit.
Man, this is a great story, and it's one of the another one of those things where you have a one-off in these books that just plays better than most of the American stories. And that's sad because they have this opportunity or this capacity to do this the entire time.
Oh
But
yeah.
it took Simon Furman and the UK crew to really make this come to life. So.
So we have the first appearance of the of Warpath and the Insecticons, and it doesn't fit in with the continuity.
It doesn't.
Yes, because they don't show up till later,
Okay.
and you'll see they weren't even on Earth at this time.
Oh, so they weren't just created and brought out of tubes like the one-off story had.
Right. So, and it's suspected that this was a mandate that came from Hasbro because those toys were on the shelves at the time.
I could see it totally.
And then Simon Furman, in an interview that was used in the, I believe the IDW reprints, says that I think that was almost certainly the case, and it's a prime example of a strip that they hadn't rationalized in any which way with the American material. So, you know, they were always like playing off of the American comics. And then this one, it's like they didn't bother. They just wanted a standalone to kind of not only like introduce new readers to the concept of the Transformers, but to also like advertise those toys. And these are the toys that are on shelves right now, so get those out there.
Good point. I was actually I was wondering how long till Warpath shows up in the regular continuity? Did you see that?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know the story because it's on the American side where they introduce him, but the smelting pool.
Oh, okay. So
Yeah,
really, it's not that far off.
it's not, well,
Well,
relatively, it's not. But remember, there's a lot of UK comics in between here and there, too.
that's true. I
So
mean, I'm thinking about the American books, and it's pretty close,
I want to
but.
say it's like 20 weeks difference.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into all the UK stories then. So that'd be great.
Yeah, so if you were buying these weekly, you've got, you know, quite a few months there, like what, 5 months before you'd actually see, well, and the Insecticons show up during the smelting pool story too.
Okay, that's the
So,
first. I didn't
yeah,
know if
because
they
they were
came into
under
the
Straxis.
Okay, and that makes sense. I didn't know if the UK brought them in and into a different sort of way. Okay.
Yeah, this is just kind of like a standalone story. So,
Kind of feels like it kind of feels has a they almost have a oh, what is the skids a skids feeling to him, because skids will show up randomly in episodes of the Sunbow cartoon,
oh yeah.
and he was like not as common, but he was out there still. Almost kind of feels that way to me.
Oh, totally.
But I mean, I love this I love this line art for the UK comics, and I freaking love the coloring. It's such a
Oh
good job.
yeah, the color work is always really good. I mean, even if you look at the gradation on Reagan's face on that
Oh
last
yeah.
page.
Oh God, yeah. There are like shades of brown and red going into the the Caucasian white skin look, and the cross hatching on the forehead where the wrinkles are.
Yeah.
Fantastic job.
Yeah. The way they portrayed depth on there was really well done.
Oh yeah. You can definitely tell. That's fantastic. I'm
And
pretty
then,
happy.
the most important thing, and these guys really could use this, you know, dealing with the Insecticons, is Ratchet to the rescue.
Yes. I don't know who he's trying to rescue, and I don't know who that seeker is down there on the I don't know, I guess dead end.
This seeker kind of has a little silly face.
Yeah, well,
When you zoom in on his face, he's kind of like got like a Wallace and Gromit Wallace face.
it was Nova Storm. I will say
Yeah.
that. Yeah, but whoever this is, and it looks kind of like. Actually, it looks kind of like a cross between Ironhide and Reflector, but he didn't make it in time.
Yeah. You know, I could kind of see the Ironhide and chest there,
The
maybe.
chest, yeah. And
Yeah.
also, Ironhide, honestly, if you look at how he is as a animation model, he's kind of generic. If you took away the colors and changed the head around a little bit, it could be anybody.
Oh yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the. Oh God, what are the generic bots from Make Tracks? Does it make tracks?
Oh yeah, you're talking about like the taxi
The
cab
taxis, yeah.
robots? Yeah.
Just generic robots.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite scenes, having the
And I'm trying to figure out like one of them like deads into a one of the paths dead ends into a rock, like a bunch of
yeah.
boulders. There's another it's a river. I guess it's like he can't cross the river, but there's a little boat going down the river.
You can get in the boat and go across the river, but where are you going to
It
go
looks
after
like a police boat, so it's like, is he trying to avoid the cops? Like, what is,
that? He's on
what's
the
Ratchet been
lam.
into? Yeah, and this one, this maze came from the Decepticon Patrol, activity book.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm kind of doing it really quickly in my like with my eyes here, trying to figure it out. Oh, a little tricky maze too. Let's see. No, I ended up in the river. No. Yep. Nope. There we go. I made it. I made it to the dead transform on the ground with
Yeah,
a
my first time
arm.
just doing it, I ran into the boulder.
Yeah, I ran to the boulder and then I ran to the river and then I tried to avoid the Wallace and Gromit seeker, and then I came across and found the dead transformer over there with a arm and leg missing.
It's a decent maze.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's pretty simple. You know, if you do it with your eyes a few times, like
This should
okay.
be like an Easter egg in like one of the Transformers video games where you actually have to like take Ratchet through this path, like you do a Ratchet mission, and it turns out they just use this maze.
Yeah.
That'd be a very cool, like little esoteric Easter egg there.
Be kind of cool if they like did like the Fall of Cybertron, the War for Cybertron games, where you have like a 3D view, but so that's how you do the maze. You did like
Right.
head
You
on.
don't
Yeah.
realize it's this maze because
Oh,
you're
you're right.
actually going through it like the rat in the maze.
And you could turn around and like go back the way you came and try to go around another way, but that'd be actually pretty good. That'd be
Yeah.
kind of neat. Okay. Anyways, good
Yeah, like the
stuff.
seeker is the minotaur in the labyrinth there.
Oh man, I'm looking. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at Ravage is Laserbeak, and Laserbeak is Ravage on that on the answer
Oh,
page.
the answer page. Yeah, that's the next page, and yeah, they've got them swapped.
Oh, that's terrible, guys. Come on, try a little harder.
Yeah.
And actually at the end of the book we have a nice pencil sketch of Megatron. Though is the Megatron from the original toy commercial? The he holds the arm cannon.
Yes.
It has a like
And
rounded. So?
I was saying this drawing, as well as the Optimus in the beginning, are both from the Treasure Under the Sea. Was the Search for Treasure Under the Sea
Okay.
story? Yeah.
I have a soft spot for this Megatron. Looks, I like it pretty good. And I really like how the Transformers 1 took a little bit of this and a little bit of the G1 Megatron from Sunbow and made a like kind of combination out of the two.
Oh yeah, when they made D16, yeah.
Yeah. So I really
And
like all that too.
this is really similar to the drawing in the Transformers Universe entry
Yeah, it actually
in the
is. It
profile
looks
book, yeah.
kind of looks like the it kind of close to the art.
He's kind of got those big triangular eyes.
Yeah. It might be actually very derivative of that.
He's got a handle on his
On his
fusion
fusion
cannon
cannon.
too.
Yep. Well, that's like the original commercial for the comic books. That's how that Megatron was.
Yeah, it was like a bazooka.
Yeah. That just mounted on his arm.
And you know, there's a couple of times in season 3 that Galvatron's cannon had a handle on it too, but you don't really see it that often.
Oh, I don't remember that. I'll have to take a look at that if we ever make it back in there. Ed, whenever you're ready, man, I want to get through season two because we
Oh,
have the movie, the 86 movie
and
to
y'all are
watch.
right there. Y'all are almost done with
Dude,
season two.
I know. We're like it's like the home stretch. The good episodes are coming up. Some
I
of
know
my favorites.
you just want to get the bot. That's your real end game.
I mean, yes and no because I love Swindle.
That is the perfect Swindle
It is the
episode.
quintessential Swindle episode.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that so much. So, even the bad episodes in the end of season two were good.
Oh,
But,
yeah. And I mean, especially when you had character development
oh, yeah.
built into it.
I love the Combaticons anyways.
Yeah.
I don't care really about Brawl, and I really don't care about Vortex or
Apparently, that was the focus of that episode, is that nobody cared
Yeah.
about.
I like Onslaught. I like obviously Swindle. And I mean I guess I kind of liked
It's Onslaught and Swindle are really the only two
really
that really are focused upon.
yeah, I mean Onslaught sounded like a Bond villain.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Big old fan of that. So, we'll get there and hopefully you all will be with us when we do that. So, look forward to it.
Yeah, the standout Combaticon out of all of them is always Swindle.
Because he's so much fun. Yeah, until he gets a Carbamia. Oh, that's still a fantastic, fun episode. That's just, it did not age well at all.
Well, apparently it didn't age well back then either.
No, it just ask Casey Kasem. Well, if you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not a good look. So,
They
anyways.
could have named it anything else and it probably would have been there, but that was definitely real world factors at the time.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean,
I don't want to spoil too much of what y'all are getting into, but yeah.
yeah, I don't want to get into that too much, but you could have had this, honestly, with that name, you could have had it in Northern Ireland too. So,
Oh, that actually would have fit a little better, honestly.
actually, yeah, it would have. So, well, we'll get to that when we get to that. If you know. And so
Yes.
I can't wait for Ed to get back into that.
Everybody's gonna know when you get there.
Oh, no, Raggy.
So
Yeah.
yeah, that's it for this little segment, I guess, on the
Yeah.
Transformers 1985 annual.
So this is
Or
part one on.
1986. Some people list it as 86, but
Yeah.
it was published near the end of 1985, so
That's probably why it may even come out at the end of 85, beginning of 86.
yeah, and this was done by it was a joint effort by Marvel and Grand Dreams.
Grand Dreams.
Yeah, that was a publisher in the UK, and we've seen ads for them, like where they did like the Return of the Jedi books and all the
Oh,
little,
yeah.
yeah.
I actually had some of them when I was younger. Okay.
Yeah, I think they did like some Flash Gordon stuff like that. Like,
Yeah.
oh,
Oh,
yeah, Raiders of
those
the
are
Lost
great.
Ark books. That was them, and they got with Marvel to do these annuals. And it was
Very
just
cool.
like a little bonus thing to try to bring more people into the comics and just to advertise the toys in general.
Very nice. Before we take off out of here, though, I want to give some little housekeeping. I want to thank Tony with Auto Update, who gave us a nice shout out again. He's been very gracious to us to have us mentioned in the Auto Update newsletter. Auto Update is one of those cool newsletters that was around for years. I mean, it was essentially the first one of the first big Transformers zines.
Oh yeah, it goes all the way back to Alt Toys Transformers News Group.
So
Yeah.
Tony Buchanan, who's worked on this for years, he actually has a new group to kind of bring back all the archive stuff, and it's really kind of cool to see that. So once again, Tony, as always, thank you for including us in there. We appreciate it so much. And
Oh yeah, it's a great read.
oh yeah, it's a yeah, and like he mentioned, like we did a little thing with GoBots and we got back into Transformers, but really since GoBots are part of Transformers now, it's kind of it kind of like goes Venn diagram a bit of just really cool robot stuff from the 80s, so we can all have our favorite robot stuff and enjoy it all together. So I appreciate that
Yes.
so much.
All one big extended family now.
Of people who spend way too much stuff on robots that turn into vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
I
I don't think
feel
you can
all
have
that.
too many of those.
Obviously not.
Right?
I
You can
mean,
just have not enough shelves.
yes, that sounds about right, actually.
Yeah.
Yep, that's actually quite accurate. I need some more. Anyways, guys.
Oh, is that a masterpiece tracks I see behind you there?
That?
Yes.
No, that's just regular tracks, baby.
Oh, that's regular
Yeah.
tracks. Oh, nice. He
Feels
looks really
good.
big on camera. I guess it has that 15 pounds.
There's grapple tracks.
Grapple.
My getaway that I got to
Getable.
refurbish.
Yeah.
So,
Is
yeah,
that the one that you whitened that you put
yes.
through the peroxide? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go here soon, guys, and kind of go into like doing a lot of that stuff. Restickered, rehashed the entire thing. One of my favorite later G1 Autobots. So I was really happy to do that. I wanted to do it for a while. So I want to do something a little later on with that. Hopefully you guys will check that out too. Just me bumbling my way through refurbishing old Transformers. I'm no professional by any means, but I want to get on that.
Hey, if you want
But
to collect on a budget, though, that's the way to do it.
yeah, all you need is some peroxide, a little patience, and a little know-how.
Yeah.
And definitely shot glasses full screws.
Don't get them mixed up with your other ones. That's not the worm from the tequila bottle.
Oh, that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, guys, I want to say once again, thank you for all for checking this out. If you've watched this long, once again, I say that I look at the statistics, and all but like 2% of people who watch this are subscribed. So subscribe. It's not going to hurt anything. We're not going to spam you. I don't even know how to do that. So just let you know when there's new videos up, which should be every Tuesday morning or Wednesday or Monday late night, Tuesday morning. And
Yeah, the midnight Tuesday, like right when Tuesday
well,
happens.
midnight my time.
Yeah.
So if you live in another part of the world, it might be later on. It might be earlier.
Right.
We'll see.
So, yeah.
It might time travel a little bit. So
Is
guys, I
what
want to
you're
say
like Central Time Zone, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
Chicago time zone. So anyways, guys,
I just
so
doxed you. You're somewhere in the Central Time Zone.
yeah, that's a good quarter of the United States.
They're narrowing down on you.
If yeah, I'll tell you where I am if y'all can get me out of here. Anyways, guys, thanks a lot for being here this week. And you gonna give us a follow, give us get a like, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dentist. They might be into it. So thanks so much for being here, everyone. Boo, if you'll take us out of here, man.
Bye.
Bye. See you guys.
More Than Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.